Episode 845, My Strength is My Story with Sue Detweiler, Women Who Move Mountains.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy, happy day. I know you know that this is my favorite day. It's My Strength is My Story. And we are celebrating with Sue Detweiler, Women Who Move Mountains. I promise you, you listen to all of this, you will be blessed. For those of you who are brand new, maybe you already know Sue, welcome to the family. I'm so delighted that you're here. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. And of course, we're a daily podcast. So if you have enjoyed this interview with Sue, tune in every day because you're going to gain inspiration, teachings, strategies, and tools. God created you on purpose for a purpose, and that's how he has blessed Sue. Sue is an incredible woman. She has been in ministry for over 25 years, worked with people in marriage and education. She's a radio host and an author of now 3 books. And the one we're chatting about today is her brand new book, hot off the press, Women Who Move Mountains. And you know what? You're a woman of impact. You are going to move mountains today. And you're going to learn some tools and strategies, ones that God has already given to you. And one very important one, it's all about prayer. So let's dive in. Sue Detweiler with Women Who Move Mountains. Welcome to Create Your Now. Today is My Strength is My Story series, and I am so delighted to welcome in Sue Detweiler. She is a woman who moves mountains, a wife, a mother of 6, a radio host, an author of 3 books, and a pastor with more than 25 years experience. She speaks internationally on issues of marriage, family, women, prayer, leadership, and ministry. Her first 2 best-selling books were 9 Traits of a Life-Giving Mom and 9 Traits of a Life-Giving Marriage. Sue gets real, though, in her brand new book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. Sue, welcome!
I'm so glad to be with you. This is exciting.
Oh, it is exciting. And another book!
I know. Isn't God amazing?
Oh, he is.
And, you know, I love what you're doing here, the strength in the story, because that is how we learn and how we grow. And I bet you loved how many stories I have in this book.
Oh, that's the thing. If you love stories, you're going to have to pick up your own copy because she doesn't just, I mean, Sue shares her own stories, but she also shares stories of other women. And I'm telling you, they are gripping. At times I was mad. I was like, oh, and then at times I was like, just kind of giddy with happiness. It was awesome. I loved the stories.
Yes, I do too. And you know, it was God directing me to sit down with my friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't know their stories until they shared. And truthfully, sometimes you don't know what other people have walked through.
Yes.
And so just being able to share that story has been amazing.
Mm. Well, before we jump into some of those stories, I want you to tell us a little bit about where you are right now. What is Sue up to?
Well, you know, we have been in ministry a long time. My husband and I planted a church in Nashville when I was 21 going on 22. So we have been bold like that. And we were in Nashville, Tennessee for 28 years in ministry, a couple different assignments.
Wow.
And then really and we were at that stage where our children were getting older and adult children and knew a shift was coming, but we didn't know exactly what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on our prayer retreat and went to a friend of ours who's the president of a Bible college. And at the end of our weekend, he was offering me a job. And I thought that might be where we were going in Virginia, but I went back a second time and felt like, no, that's not what God's calling me to do.
Mm.
And then I began, somebody found out, like five people maybe in the whole world knew that we were praying about moving and what God's next assignment was. And so someone found out in a church, a large church in North Carolina, and asked me to interview there for an associate pastor position.
Wow.
And in the middle of that interview process, I've got two weddings going on. So my first daughter got married in April, and then my second daughter got married in May, and then in the middle of it is when my first book came out, Mother's Day.
Oh.
Is that not crazy?
You had to have been insane. Wait, I knew you were insane because I was part of your launch team then.
I know. It was a crazy thing, but it surprised me when it did so well, and that became part of the story, because really, if I would have taken the position in North Carolina, it would have meant I'd need to lay down writing and speaking. Mm-hmm. And the senior pastor he used this phrase. He said, "You have a big personality." And, you know, he didn't mean it that I was obnoxious. I don't think so anyway.
Surely not.
But it was enough, that phrase made me go to the Lord in prayer again.
Yes.
And we were on vacation, and I'm walking on a beach, and I just hear the Lord say, "Take point." Mm-hmm. And I knew, I don't usually use that language, but I knew that it had to do with a conversation that my husband and I had been having about planting a church or senior pastoring again. And you have to know, my husband and I are exact opposites. I mean, we're just very opposite. But when you minister together, you know, it's beautiful. So we've ministered together. And a couple days later, I woke up, and I saw a vision of Texas. I mean, a vision, a picture. If you know what Texas looks like,
it
was surrounded in flames. And I knew that God was speaking to us. We hadn't been to Texas before. We didn't have friends in Texas. Uh-huh. It wasn't like we were going home to Texas. It was like God was showing and outlining new territory for us, and that he was calling us to plant again. And if you know anything about church planting, usually it's a young couple that goes, you know, like the age that we were the first time.
Right.
It's not someone that has grown children. But, you know, there's a call of obedience in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to take the less traveled path, the risky path. And it has been hard. I mean, church planting's difficult, and pulling up roots from a community when you've been there 28 years, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you know that God's called you to something, you have peace in the journey. So we just started the church a year ago on Easter. So we've had a 1 year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
I know. It's called LifeBridge Church. And so we love it. And we love pouring into people's life. And, you know, God's using us, and it's a joy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you plant a church, one of the things I love about it is you're able to reach out to the lost. You're able to reach out to the disenfranchised, you know, those in transition.
Right.
And you're able to create a community that really is a home of healing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thankful for that.
Home of healing. How beautiful. Well, let me ask you this, because I know some of our listeners are more seasoned Christians. And so, you know, those seasoned Christians are like, well, I'm doing God's work. I know I'm following what he has chosen me to do. You went out. You were obedient. You went out to Texas to plant this church. Was it all bliss?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't in any way. But, you know, just know, you walk things through with a multitude of counsel.
Mm.
So there, we've been a part of a family, a denomination of churches, and which that's really what it is. It's a family. And so we really were encouraged and sent. So we didn't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important, I think, for people to know. And The one thing that I do believe is a temptation as you enter into maybe a second season in your life, mm-hmm. the temptation is to rest on your past and how great your past has been. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy for people graduating from college to pack up their bags and go wherever God calls them to, because they don't have much. It's right. not a big risk.
Yes.
But for those of us that it's a bigger risk, I think it's important to encourage people to obey God and do what he says every season of your life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And we need to pay attention to that, Sue, in our lives, including my own. I mean, I'm not just saying it to the listeners. I know you're, you know, acting upon that. I'm acting upon that. And sometimes we don't know what that means, but we have to just take that next step because God is always there.
Yeah, he is. He is. And he encourages us. Mm-hmm. He does.
Yes.
He encourages us along the journey because we're not doing it for ourselves.
Yes.
That's been a big thing about this is we sense we're leaving a legacy. And one joy that's happened in the midst of it, you know, our youngest daughter ended up moving and she lives with us and she's one of our worship leaders. So that's fun.
That's awesome.
And our older daughter that has my one grandson, they're coming our way and being here.
Oh, and that's even more
so
exciting.
I know. And part of it is they want to be a part of a life-giving community mm-hmm. and help us in this adventure of faith.
Yes, it is an adventure of faith. And that's what I love so much about your brand new book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying
yes.
with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. You all will want to pick up your own copy. We will, of course, have that information in the show notes for you. Sue, when I read this book, because I did read it, you have got amazing references. So this book is for someone who doesn't really have much of a relationship with Christ, wants to figure that out. And then those who are more the seasoned Christians, you know, or maybe the ones that just kind of show up on Easter and Christmas. This book is for everybody. And so I would encourage wherever you are in your walk and your journey to pick up a copy of that. But in this book, you talk specifically about prayer.
Yes, because prayer really is the key to our intimate relationship with God. It's the key to us being healed of our brokenness. Mm-hmm. It's key to us being launched out in our destiny. Prayer is the key for us to walk fully in who God's made us to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you said that, and in fact, I mean, you just kind of alluded to that prayer is it's an intimate relationship with Christ. It's a way to get closer to him. Can you go a little bit deeper on intimacy with Christ? Because some people think, you know, the sexual side of things, and that's kind of like weird. You know what I mean? The word intimacy. So what does it mean on a Christian level of intimacy with God?
Well, when you know that you're the apple of your daddy's eye, when you know that you're chosen and you're beloved, when you know that you're his masterpiece and he's designed you in such a way that he's prepared things for you to walk in. And you get to know that those truths by abiding with Christ, walking with Christ, mm-hmm. staying connected to him, going through the different seasons of pruning, going through the different seasons where he's showing you, now that attitude you just had there, that stunk, you know, or he's saying, you just exaggerated there. Mm-hmm. That's not right. Mm-hmm. You just told a small lie. I mean, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us, and we shouldn't be afraid of that, because part of it is he wants us to walk fully intimate with him. Mm-hmm. And anytime we've got an area of wounding or sin, or if we've got glasses on where we don't know who God is,
yes.
because maybe we've been abused by a father mm-hmm. or an authority figure, and our perspective, we don't know that he's a loving daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he came that he wants all of us, and here's what he can do. We're all his favorites.
Amen.
We all are his favorites. And he's so for you. And that intimacy is walking with God day by day. It's relationship. It's not religion. It's not ritual. Although there are patterns and strategies that can help you grow in your walk of faith.
Yes, and you mentioned that in your book about it being not just a ritual, that it's truly a relationship, and it's coming in communion with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, and it's available to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's available at any stage in your life, and one of the things that there will be, as you pick up this book and you study it with other women, there's going to be at least one of these women's stories that you're going to identify with. Mm-hmm. Because we've all walked through brokenness.
Yes.
And sometimes you can see it on the outside and sometimes you can't, but we all need God's healing.
Amen. Well, speaking of brokenness, you talk in your book about I Am Healed, Transforming Brokenness into Wholeness, and it's about Lori's story. Can you just share a little bit about her story?
I sure can. And she's one, most of the women, I will have little videos posted, you know, of them so that you can see the actual person sharing a short story. So that's in process.
Fabulous.
That's coming.
That's exciting. But
for Lori in particular, she's one that's anonymous. She told this story in an anonymous way. And, you know, that's important sometimes. You want to respect, and it needs to be so. Mm-hmm. So it's an anonymous story of great pain because she was a little girl that had been abused. Her mother was a bit wounded herself, was in a lot of relationships, and those men that she was in relationship with were caretakers at time of Lori. And Lori was abused. But the hard part is her mom didn't believe her. And so she began to act out. She began to run away. She began to do all those sorts of things that people that have been traumatized do when you're a child.
Right.
And so her mom didn't know what to do with her, left her with a family for almost a year. And it was a Catholic family. Mm-hmm. And she remembers going to mass and they would show pictures of people that were martyred. And her thought was, oh, finally, someone knows how I feel. I mean, she was that hurting inside. And so at one point, she went to a nun and she finally shared with her what had happened to her. Well, the nun took her to the priest. And what she felt like is the priest was her channel to God. And so she shared what had happened. And they called her mom. And her mom said she was lying. And so the priest reprimanded her and, you know, said, don't lie. And what happened in this, at this point, she's 12 years old. So what happened in her heart at that point as a 12-year-old is she felt like this was, you know, her way to God. Mm-hmm. And so she just stuffed it all down. And like what happens with many of us when we don't deal with those painful things, but we just try to move on. Mm-hmm. That's what she tried to do, is just move on. And later in her life, after she was married and she had children, it began to trigger all of her mother issues. All of her issues got triggered. And once again, she got in a relationship, which was a manipulative relationship, someone that was in leadership, and she knowingly entered into an adulterous affair. Mm. And it was horrible.
Yeah.
But the good news is that she had a husband that helped her. She went through counseling. And that's when, for the first time, all of this stuff from her childhood began to come up. And her husband heard it for the first time. And their marriage was reconciled and healed. And also, the big deal for Lori is that God was her healer. She began to pray in such a way that God himself was healing her heart. And that relationship that she'd wanted from the time she was a little girl was restored. So it's a powerful, powerful story of God's redemption in our life, even when we've been abused, and also when we've chosen mm-hmm. the wrong path.
Yes.
Because both happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A beautiful story. Unfortunate things, you know, bad things. She, you know, endured some very great pain. But at the end, God was right there standing beside her and took it all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she's healed. Yeah. Mm. Beautiful.
She's healed. And she ministers to others that healing just by who she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sue, if somebody is in that position right now, maybe they are in an abusive relationship or have been, or maybe even suffering from adultery themselves, what would you tell them as kind of their first step to, because, you know, we kind of carry that guilt like, well, God doesn't want to see me. He's not going to, you know, I've done so bad. I can't go and ask for forgiveness because, you know, he's just turned his back on me. I know, because all these other things have happened in my life. What would you tell that woman?
Well, for all of us, no matter what the area of sin is, if we've entered into sin, usually as women, there's been a level of deception.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a level of deception of how we're looking at the situation. We're looking at it, and you can even tell it in our language. You know, an affair, that almost sounds good. Adultery,
right?
That sounds, whoa.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you watch enough romantic films, there you are in a romantic film, and the way they're telling the story, you almost want somebody to get in bed with somebody else that's not married.
Right.
And there's so much of that pornographic type of literature. And for women, for men, it may be more visual. For women, it tends to be more the romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place of desiring intimacy, to be known, to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why we tend to be susceptible to manipulative relationships where we're being used.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a long answer to your question, but I think the first step would be honesty.
Mm, yes.
You know, like an honest assessment. Where are you really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what choices led to that? And then to look at what Christ said, because there's areas in our lives, and every single one of us have areas that are besetting sins.
Mm-hmm.
They're the areas that we go around and around in, and it's hard for us to cut it off because at some point in our life, we found pleasure,
mm-hmm.
that counterfeit pleasure, whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's food, whether it's shopping, whether it's, I mean, there's anything that we put in the place of God becomes an idol. And so no matter what area it is for you, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you and to believe that that conviction is for your good, not for your harm. And Jesus talked about if your right hand offends you, cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that, like an alcoholic, for example, and you know you're an alcoholic, you can't go hang out in the bar.
Not wise.
Not wise. No. You've got to be able to put limits mm-hmm. in your life mm-hmm. that do not lead you down a path of destruction, and learn what is it that triggers you to choose this counterfeit pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That was an awesome answer to that question, Sue. I'm taking notes. I'm sure everybody else is too. And you're going to want to pick up your own copy of her brand new book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. It is hot off the stands, and we will definitely have that information for you in the show notes. Okay, so let me ask you this. How did you come up with this title, Women Who Move Mountains?
Don't you love that title?
I do.
I love the title. And hold the picture of the book up. I want the people to see it one more time.
Okay.
Look at that little woman at the bottom. There is absolutely no mountain in sight. That little tiny woman moved that mountain out of there. Isn't that cool?
It is awesome.
You know, I can take no credit for that title. I have an awesome publisher. Baker Publishing Group is fabulous, and their imprint, Bethany House, they are the ones that came up with that title and the cover. And when I heard the title and saw the cover, it literally took the breath away from me. And I knew it was right. And I absolutely love it because every woman and their story within this book, all of them are mountain movers. And really, what's hard about moving a mountain, because look, if you look up to a mountain, it's completely immovable. And it just feels impossible.
Yes.
And there are situations in our life that we come against, and it feels impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
He's the expert at taking the impossible and saying, possible. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find him is in prayer. And if you don't know this scripture, in Mark 11, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, if you have faith, even like a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it will move, because nothing's impossible with God. So it really was Jesus who came up with the title.
I love that even more.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always curious because, you know, you could have a dream and it was just kind of there, or maybe you were standing on a mountaintop or maybe a little hill and there was a bigger mountain, and, you know, everybody comes up with things differently. So that's awesome. I love it. At the very beginning of the book, you start out by saying, get my baby out. And this was one of these, we don't have to do the whole story, but even just the beginning will kind of sink everyone to the bottom, because this is what no mom wants to be a part of. Tell us a little bit about your story.
My story is, I was a young mom in ministry, came home from vacation, put my 5-week-old little girl into the crib, and then fell asleep. And then when I woke up, she was screaming. And it was a different type of scream. It was horrible. And I tried to get to her, but I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe. And I got turned around. I got turned around in a closet. So I'm grabbing for clothes. And I cannot figure out what's going on. I'm like coughing, and finally I went across the room, lifted up the window of my 2-story high, house, and put my face out. And that's when I realized my house was on fire and that I was incapable of getting to my daughter. I mean, I couldn't find the door out. And I think people don't always realize that smoke is often, and the smoke inhalation is what kills people. Mm-hmm. And it disorients you, because I certainly didn't know that. And it was only by the grace of God that my husband came home in time from the church, and he got the firemen, and they got my baby out, and they got me out. Oh, thank you, God. And you know, I was asked in another interview that I had today, someone asked me, they said, well, how did you come to that place of really mountain moving faith and prayer?
Yes.
And I said, I didn't. I was a mess. I was hysterical. It wasn't me. It was the next morning I called my mom, and we told her what had happened. And she, you could just feel God's presence and peace come over the phone. Mm-hmm. And she said, you're the one that I've been praying for. And she had taken a month to fast and pray. And the scripture she was looking at was Isaiah 43, which part of it is, you will go through the fire and you won't be burned. And she's the one, I believe her prayer saved our life. She's the one that moved that mountain in prayer and prayed on our behalf. And it really was a life-changing event for us.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just that your house was on fire. When you actually got out, you had a neighborhood, it seemed like. How many homes were engulfed?
You know what? The house next to us was under construction, and it, in a half an hour's time, had burned to the ground.
Oh.
And the house next to them, they had a family of four, and only the front of the brick was standing, basically. Mm-hmm. And then our house was all brick. That's probably what saved us. And it was burning from the roof in like a furnace. But it was so hot that like other people's shutters melted across the street. Oh. Bumpers melted off of cars. I mean, it was a burning inferno. And we do believe it was an arsonist that had been watching and set the house on fire. They may not have known that we were home, but it was someone that set that house on fire.
Wow. Praise the Lord, though, that he got you out. I mean,
God did.
You know, and Mom moved mountains with her prayer. Little did she know that it was going to be her own daughter and granddaughter that she was moving that mountain for.
Amen. Mm. And that should encourage all of us how important our prayers are. And there are times that you may get a sense, pray for this person. You know, you're part of, and it doesn't matter where they are in a world, you can have an impact on worldwide events through the power of prayer.
Amen. Yes, you can. In fact, it reminds me of a story. The church that we attend, it's a big church for our area. It would be considered a massive church, but small in my opinion because we've attended bigger church. But there's this one lady that would sit about three rows from us, kind of the middle, all by herself. And I watched her for a few weeks, and I noticed her, how she would stand, and at first she wouldn't sing much. She just stood there, and she was probably about maybe in her 30s, mid-30s, and I was just always drawn to her. And I don't know, three or four Sundays had passed. Actually, it was Saturdays because we had a church on Saturday, and I noticed her again, and God just told, I mean, it was, she was put on my heart, you need to be praying for this woman every single day. You don't know what she's going through. And then about 6 or 7 weeks later, I saw, I'm assuming, was her daughter with her and standing there. I can guess maybe that she was going through a divorce, a separation, but something was tragically happening in this woman's life. I didn't know her personally, but I knew that my prayers would do more than my words could ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe there's a power in prayer. Mm-hmm. And when we're prompted, one of the things that happens is when we engage with God and say, God, I'm available.
Yes.
I'm available, which I did at one point in my life. And he knows this welcome is there. God, if you want to wake me up, God, I'm available. I'm available to stand on the wall and pray. And I'm available to pray with complete strangers, God. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you really begin to move out, people, even if they don't know God, welcome prayer.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to just encourage every listener, go with the Holy Spirit. Whatever he prompts you to do, be fearless, be bold, mm-hmm. because you are being used by God.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and we have to kind of step out of that fear, out of our comfort zone, because we think that we have to know the outcome. But sometimes the people we pray for, we never know that outcome.
That's true. And other times, one thing that I pray for that is answered over and over again, so much that I've got a reputation. So if someone wants to get pregnant, It's just one of those things that God has healed so much infertility. And so I've had people put babies in my arms. And you remember, you prayed for me. So there's a whole legacy. And it became a joke where people were like, don't get near Sue Detweiler if you don't want more children, you know.
That's great.
But it's that heart to yes. I mean, there's something about a heart of a woman that's longing for a baby. Mm-hmm. And the healing power of God and just how transformative it is, that gift.
It is a gift. And prayer is a gift that God gives us because it's our way of communicating with Him directly.
Yeah. And it's a channel of healing too. And yes. I think that was one of the things that I wanted to come through in the book is really it's a journey. Yes. So wherever you are on your journey, it's like a step-by-step path. Mm-hmm. And every other chapter, we create a breathing room for you to be able to really think about what are the lies that you might be believing. Mm-hmm. You know, and what is the truth? Yes. And we try to lead people down just a path of deliverance. And in fact, we have created additional resources. One of them's called Five Steps of Grace, and it will be on my website, SueDetweiler.com. And it's scripture prayers that leads you on a path of deliverance. And you can walk through it alone or with a mentor. And we wanted to make that free and downloadable so that anyone that wanted to go deeper in their faith could do that. And we also have extra journal pages where if you just want to get alone with God and journal, we have those. And I think it's important because we need processes.
Yes.
We need help to go from step to step to step. And one of the things that I really hope, and listeners, if you're hearing this, you can be a leader. Even if you feel like you can't, just get a couple of women together and all the resources are there. Do this together. Yes. Because if you study this together and read this together, one, you're not going to feel alone. Mm-hmm. Two, you're going to have a powerful, power-packed women's group, and you are going to be more intimate with God and more intimate with those women. Mm. That's really what I'm hoping, because it has been designed that churches, women's groups, but just neighborhood, just whoever wants to gather a couple of women together, this will transform your lives.
Yes, it will. Yeah. And you do, Sue, make it very easy in the book. Actually, she has the individual chapters, and then that follow-up chapter is learning to whatever the topic is. So it may be learning to pray with faith. I have to look at my notes here. is one of them that's followed up, and I think that was the one that was followed up with your story, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Get my baby out. So I love how you set that up, and it is beautiful. And you don't have to be like you know it all. You don't. It walks you through step by step and the study guides. And even like you said, you have bonus material there that people can go and watch the videos too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's right.
I very much appreciate your time and your energy and your efforts in putting this together because, I don't know, some people think prayer is kind of scary. You know, or it's almost, you know, it's kind of like that weird, you know, letter word that you're like, oh, I don't know. It can be a curse or it can be a blessing. And sometimes we don't know because we get mad at God when he doesn't answer our prayers. I mean, you know, we got to be honest every once in a while. I've had my talk with him like, hey, dude, what are you doing? You know, aren't you on my side? And sometimes, though, that it's not our way. It's got to be his way. And he's got to gently show us the way, the path, his path. But I love that because it can be one of those things where it's either a curse or a blessing. But we've got to look at it more that this is really a gift.
It is a gift. It's a gift. And I think every time that I've been at that place, and by the way, I share this in the book. I remember a time when I was alone and I just shook my fist at God and I yelled out, I hate you. And then I went, and I heard God's voice. You're surprised by that attitude? I'm not. I saw that. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed a journal at that point and began to write down what I heard him saying. And it's one of the exercises I really encourage people to. Sometimes there's times you need to journal your prayers with God and wait for an answer. Now, of course, his answer will agree with scripture principles, you know, that, you know, it's important that it's scriptural, but you'll know God's presence when he's speaking to you. And I think, so the times that I've done that with God, usually I've had a pair of glasses on that I have not been, I've been viewing God through the glasses of my hurt and my pain. And I've not really gone deep enough to encounter who he is. And that comes through the Word of God, just to know his character and who he is. Because, for example, if you know that God loves you, no matter what, no matter what you do, that anything, you can come close, and that he always comes to you in both mercy and truth at the same time.
Yes.
And that's the perfect combination, because we need mercy to save us.
Yes.
And we need truth to free us.
Yes. And we all long for that freedom.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Sue's brand new book, Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. I love this book. It's a great read. Okay, so in the one where I am secure, it got me because I think a lot of us women, especially moms, regardless of where we are in our life, whether we have adult children, whether we have some that are kind of like we're becoming empty nesters or they're just now, or we have little ones that are just now going into elementary school, we kind of have this anxiety in our life a lot. And anxiety comes with busyness, right? We have to get all this stuff done, and there's so much more stuff. I mean, when you and I were growing up, there's like 10 million times what we had when we were growing up. Tell us a little bit about Mary and Martha, the sisters.
Yes, in every chapter, we bring out scripture models. And Mary and Martha, we all have some of Mary in us, and we all have some of Martha in us. Mm-hmm. And when we become anxious, usually we're acting like a Martha. Mm-hmm. And Martha became concerned about getting the work done rather than being with Jesus. And Jesus, there's this play on words in the Greek where Jesus is saying to her, you know, one dish would have been enough. That's one way you can interpret what he's saying. Or Mary has chosen the one thing, the most important thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. And for all of us, and truthfully, the last couple of days, as we come closer to the launch of this book, I have felt that anxiety rise, and I have felt that striving begin to rise, and we all can go there, all of us, no matter what the situation is, and usually it means we need to stop, drop, and roll. I mean, literally, we've got to stop. You know, clear our mind. We've got to drop down to our knees, and we've got to roll our things onto God. And there's a scripture in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 16, that says, commit your way to the Lord. And that word commit in the Hebrew is galal, and it's a picture of, you know, if you ever watched one of those, oh, they're not donkeys. What are they? The humps on them. The camels.
Oh, the camels, yes.
The camels. Yes. They cannot get the pack off of their back unless they literally get down on their knees and roll it off. Yeah. That's the picture of that word commit. That's what that means. And there are times that we're caring too much. Mm-hmm. So, for example, and because I know you've just told me that you have people from many nations listening to your podcast.
Yes.
One of the things I am praying for is that this would be an international bestseller. And that it would be translated in lots of languages. And it's what I'm praying, because my heart is for the nations. I love the nations, and I love ministering internationally. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much. Just go to my Facebook page, and you'll see what an international audience I have. Mm-hmm. It's just part of it. But the Lord said to me last week, because I was, like, working so hard, mm-hmm. And he was like, you have absolutely no ability to make this book an international bestseller. You can't do that. Mm. You don't have the talent, the gift, the strength, the influence. It is only if God himself goes and breathes on this message and mm-hmm. takes it around the world.
Yes.
That's only what it will happen. So sometimes I think we work too hard because we don't believe God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that creates not only anxiety for us, but everybody else that's working with us or for us. Or so I'm feeling like I need to get away and pray.
I didn't want to bring on the guilt here. I meant to bring us into peace.
No, I know. But I want to share that because I think sometimes people look at people with ministries and feel like you live in the unreal world, like you've arrived. And it's not that way. Mm-hmm. We all struggle with things. And when you bring forth something that God's called you to, there's a fight.
Yes.
It won't just come. Mm-hmm. Everything that is a part of our destiny is something that we have to fight for, believe for, and it is won through the power of prayer.
Amen. I love it. Yes, yes. Oh, that just brings me peace just right there. And we have to rest in him. Like you said, stop, drop, and roll. And that roll, my dad would always say, you know, stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where we get wrapped up in all the stuff of life, and we forget who has given us all these opportunities, all this stuff, all this availability to do what we do, that we do need to stop, drop, and roll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Every day.
Every day. Because if you get into a
Every
funk,
day.
You know, you have in your book the word yeah. funk. I love that. Share that acronym.
Well, I don't think this acronym is original with me, but I don't know who it's original with, and I've been using it for over 20 years. So, but funk, F, floundering, U, under, N, negative, K, knowledge. And we get in a funk basically when we're believing a lie, mm-hmm. when we're thinking about something that maybe it has factual evidence. Because mm-hmm. I think that's what the enemy does, is he'll build fact upon fact upon fact. And then emotionally, we draw the wrong conclusion.
Yeah.
Because with God, you can have fact. You know, the impossible, mm-hmm. impossible, 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 all of those. And then God puts his hand on something and he's like, possible.
That's right.
He is the miracle God. Mm-hmm. He is the God who makes a way where there's no way. Mm-hmm. He's the God that makes a path, and he gives you a stream in the desert. So really, it's God that you're wanting to be intimate with. No one else is going to steal your destiny other than if you believe a lie. Mm. And the funk that we get into, that negative knowledge, it's like a downward spiral. And often what the enemy will do is he will cause you to look introspectively at yourself. Mm-hmm. And have you ever noticed if you look down and you look in, it's never pretty.
No.
And that's not conviction of sin. And I want to say this because I believe there's a listener that really needs this right now. Mm-hmm. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's very clear. And it's like this light mm-hmm. on a cloudy day. And it brings hope and it healing. And you know immediately what you need to do to be reconciled to God and others. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Condemnation is from the enemy. And it is like this dark cloud of oppression that attacks your essence. It attacks who you are. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel like you'll never measure up or you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like a religious condemnation, you know? Uh-huh. It's similar to what Lori experienced. That condemnation, that is not God. Mm-hmm. That's the enemy. And one of the reasons we need to study the Word of God is we need to know the difference. We need to know that voice that's God. And if you're feeling attacked in your very essence of who you are, that is not the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It may be a spirit, but it's not holy.
That's an awesome one. Everybody needs to replay this like 500 times. I'm just saying. Because that part right there is golden. Golden, golden. It's important that we don't get that confused because our hatred for ourselves can
yes.
bury us faster
yes.
than love for anybody else.
I'm glad you said that because one of the things I've tried to build into the book, this breathing room, is I've built positive confessions that are based on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I think there's times that you've just got to speak those out. And at the second part of the book, I do a 21 day of spiritual breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And each day is a thought and a confession and a scripture. And then at the end of that, I also provide like a guide if you want to get away for a spiritual retreat, you know, the types of things to ask God. And I really believe that those three resources, actually four, you know, the 21 days, mm-hmm. the retreat, yes. the five steps of grace that I talked about, mm-hmm. and the journal pages, all of that is a pathway for your victory. And I just want to speak over someone. I don't know who you are, and it may be a whole group of women. I just want to say, rise up. Mm. Be who God's called you to be. And if that mountain has been oppressing you, just know it's possible to break through. And there's someone else, and it may be a whole series of women, you have felt like you've hit a ceiling. It's like you've been serving and you've been serving and you've been serving. And sometimes it's a man-made ceiling because mankind can build their own castles. And there are times that you're touching a man-made ceiling. And here's the hope. If that's happened, God can pick you up and place you in a larger field. And you need to hear the Lord on that because man's ceiling, it's just like agreeing with the enemy to push you down. But with God, you are a mountain mover. You are someone that's going to change lives. You have a destiny that no one else can fulfill. It's very unique. But you need to be in a place of freedom and community at the same time.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we go our own ways and we're not submitted to authority and we don't get a multitude of counsel. No, we need all of that mm-hmm. to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But we also need a field that allows us to grow to be who God has made us to be. God is your freedom fighter. Even if you have nobody else fighting for you, God himself is your freedom fighter. And I believe around the world, you can see how there is an oppression against women. And it's because the enemy knows that you have a story. And your story not only brings deliverance to you, but it's all of those other women. And I believe that there's some of you out there that you're needing to be more bold and courageous, and it's not about you. And the enemy has been trying to say to you that it's selfish ambition or that you're trying to promote yourself. You're not. God himself needs you to humble yourself. He'll do the lifting up, but you must be bold and courageous to fulfill the destiny of your life, but also it's for all the other women that are going to follow you. Mm-hmm. I had plenty of people
that made it feel like I couldn't write a book, but I knew that God
was calling me to do that. And it's for you. If you're picking up this book, this message, it's for you. And you're to do the same and pay it forward for others.
Well, all I got to say is that I feel the Holy Spirit is moving. And this isn't something that we typically do, Sue, but I just would like to ask you if you would lead us in prayer. We're talking about prayer, but there's something powerful. And I believe that it doesn't matter when this is heard, that people, women, men alike, will be touched. Will you lead us in prayer right now?
I would love to. And for those of you that end up watching this, I'm going to pray with my eyes open, because you can walk down the street and pray. And there's several groups of people that I feel called to pray for. First of all, I want to pray for those of you that may have been in a religious box, and you may have been trying to follow all the rules, and you're stuck in perfectionism, and you've substituted perfectionism for the presence of God. I just want to say to you, be free. Be free.
Amen.
There's no condemnation. We all struggle with that. But there may be a new way that God wants to reveal himself through prayer.
Yes.
In the past, it might have been another path, but just know it's a new season. And so walk in the newness of power. So I pray for you right now. I pray for the presence of God to come in and to flood your heart in every form of religious, Pharisaical, any type of that, that it would go right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And now I want to pray for you that, you feel abandoned. You feel abused. You feel rejected. You feel like you can't get into church.
Yeah.
Well, just know you can go to God. And there you are welcomed home. And I just want to say to you, there is therefore no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I pray for the beauty of mercy and truth to come right now. And I pray that any lie that the enemy would say, that you're disqualified or that you've done too much, God will never be able to use you now. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He could use Moses, who was a murderer. God can use you, and he's going to. So I speak that faith right now.
Praise you, Jesus.
And I feel like there's another group of people, and it's you're wanting to listen to God. You're wanting to hear by the Holy Spirit, and you're wanting courage to walk in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are talked about in 1 Corinthians. And I just want to pray for you that you just begin to move. So God, I pray that, just with the sound of my voice, there would be a release of spiritual gifts and ministries, a release of the miraculous, of healing, of deliverance. And Lord, that it would be you. And I pray that all of these women, and there's probably some men, that they would become secret agents and they would obey God completely and fully to the glory of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, now that's the power of prayer.
It is. It is. God uses prayer for neighbors, nations, and generations. It is a powerful tool in all of our hands.
It is. And you have given that gift to us in your brand new book.
Yay!
Women Who Move Mountains, Praying with Confidence, Boldness, and Grace. And even though it says women, you know what? The man can pick this up too. I'm just saying. And it would be great for Mother's Day gift.
It is a great Mother's Day gift.
You know, and yes, pass it on to people. I mean, maybe you already like, oh, I feel really good at where I'm at. Get it for somebody else and give it as a gift.
Yes. Yes. I think that's great.
Oh, I love
God's
it.
God's going to use it.
He is. He is going to bless this book, Sue. He really is. And I so appreciate your time. I know people are going to want to connect with you. How do they find you?
It's so easy to find me if you know how to spell my name.
That's the catch.
Yes, that's the catch. So the first name is S-U-E, Sue. Mm-hmm. My last name is D-E-T-W-E-I-L-E-R. And if you know how to spell my name, I'm going to pop up on Facebook, on Twitter. My website is sue.weiler.com. And I am very active with people. And I love to interact with you. Feel free to catch me on any of those mediums. And just know, too, like on my Facebook page, I don't know. It's over 100,000 people. Wow. When people, if you post a prayer request on that page, I pray for you. Mm-hmm. And when it's a deep prayer request, I engage my 80-year-old mama and others to pray with me for you. And just know, I care. I really, really care.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does care. I know she does. She's been doing this for a little while. She's got a heart of gold. She really does. And it's a gift that God has given her. And Sue, I'm so glad you're using your gift to bless us and to really bring communion with Christ, with us being able to walk with him, beside him, to journey with him in our life that he has given us.
Yes, it's a pleasure, and it's a privilege.
Mm. What is your favorite Bible verse, or do you have one? The whole Bible doesn't count. Just can you pick like maybe one, two?
Well, for this particular time and talking to this group of women, I'm really thinking about Ephesians 2:10. The whole book of Ephesians is fabulous, but 2:10, we're called that you are his masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Or it's translated, you are his workmanship, created for good news and good works that he prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. And what I love about it is it's from the Greek word poema, which you hear poem. Yes. So it's talking about God being a master designer and that we're his work of art. And that, you know, he knows where the painting's going, even if we don't. And that we're part of his worldwide, international tapestry of his love.
Oh, that is beautiful. Ephesians 2:10. Well, I have one last question. You know, this series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
I believe that the pain that I have experienced, and you know, with pain, you write about some of it, but you don't write about all your pain.
Right.
You really don't. You protect others, or there's things that you're going through that it's not time to share. Mm-hmm. In my story, I believe that my pain has made me more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can look back at the fire and I can be thankful that God took me through the fire. And so there's all sorts of things in terms of pain. In Philippians 3, it talks about how we fellowship with him in our suffering. And I think about my story, I would feel like pain and the healing of that pain has brought me home to Jesus.
Wow. Can't top that one off. Women Who Move Mountains, Sue Detweiler, it has been a privilege and an honor to have you here. I cannot wait to have you back.
Yay. I'd love to come back. I really would.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Many blessings to you.
Blessings. Blessings to everyone wherever you are in the world.
Amen.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.